Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Just Believe Radio on the RightStream Network. It's great to be here. It's a beautiful, beautiful day in the northern East Coast area. It's, I guess, not so beautiful in other parts of the country because our guest today is having some weather issues. So we'll talk about that when I get her on here. But I just wanted to introduce myself. I'm Lisa Tarvis, metaphysician, board-certified holistic health practitioner, author, and obviously radio host. So our show airs every Sunday at 1 p.m., and we have a special guest each week covering anything basically under the metaphysical umbrella, such as holistic topics, spiritual topics, paranormal topics, etc. If you are someone who's interested in being a guest, I would be thrilled to hear from you. Just send me an email. My email address is lisa@lisatarvis.com. That's LISATARVES. And I will get in touch with you and let you know what maybe we can do together, what we can work together to accomplish with the show. So today, our guest is, her name is Amy Coelho. And she is a dream interpreter. She has written a couple of books. Her latest one is Dream Coach. She's a dream coach. That's what her title is. And her new book is Dreams, A Window into Your Destiny. I also have studied dream analysis, so for my bachelor's program, it was one of the most difficult classes I took, and it was one of the ones I was looking most forward to because I thought it was just going to be so cool. But apparently when you dream about a pink elephant, it doesn't mean anything about really necessarily a pink elephant. So it's really detailed, and it's more complicated than we think, but she's going to make it easier for us all to understand. I want to recommend anyone who has a crazy dream or, whether it's a recurring dream or a dream they had last night or something that they just always wondered what in the world it meant, call in. And we can have Amy interpret your dream for you, tell you what some of the basic stuff means that was in your dream. The number to call in is 347-945-7246. Again, that's 347-945-7246. And press 1 and you'll be in my queue, and I will get to you as soon as there's an appropriate moment in the show. You can also be anonymous, by the way. You don't have to say who you really are if you had a, dream that you don't want to tell everybody in the world who you are and what your dream was about. But anyway, I want to introduce our guest now. Again, Amy Coelho. She is a dream coach, and I'm going to get her here with us now. Amy, are you there?
I am here.
Yay. Okay, so Amy's having some difficulty. She's in, you said Alabama, right?
I'm in Alabama, yes.
Yeah, and they're getting, I guess, they're thinking about building an ark soon, I guess, right?
Yeah, it's been rainy, yes.
Lots of rain for a couple of days, so she's having some problems with her Wi-Fi and her, internet access and cell phone and landline and everything else. So if we lose her, I'll just break into song or something for a little while until we get her back. How's that? Everybody can just love that. Anyway, yeah. I've already encouraged everyone to call in because I think dream analysis is so fascinating. It's so interesting to, you wake up in the morning and, sometimes I wake up and I just start laughing. I'm like, what the heck was that about?
Yeah.
And other times it's one of those things where you're you know, you have it over and over and over again, and you're like, okay, obviously somebody's trying to tell me something here. What's going on?
Right.
So I wanted to start with, you know, just introduce yourself, what you do, how you help people, that sort of thing, and then we'll get into lots of questions that I have, and I'm sure hopefully our callers will have as well.
Great. Well, I am a dream coach, and I've been teaching since 2005, speaking publicly and internationally also on dreams, and really trying to get to a place where I can boil it down for the layman. And really just make a place where, you know, people are using common sense and can hear from God on their own. And that's one of the things that I really want to hone in on is, you know, you can go and you can go to a church or you can go to a conference or something like that, and they will release revelation for the mass. But is it personally for you? And yes, it may make sense to you. But God's speaking directly to you, and it's a personal message for you. And all throughout many texts, through the Torah and the Bible, and, you know, we've got Freud and Jungian, and we've got all of that, and it all boils down to the same thing, whether, you know, some people say it's self-speaking to yourself, or, you know, I don't think I trust me to tell myself anything, but so... You know, many of us believe that it's a source that's greater than ourselves, and that's God. And one of the things that I really want to do is coach people until they can get to a place where they are hearing and receiving guidance on their own.
So they basically are understanding what their dreams on their own.
Right, and getting to a place where they understand their own dream language. Because we all have different dream language, and for a long time I was against any dream symbol books or anything because I just felt like you have to have a relationship with God to really understand your own dream language. Our dream language is cultivated by our economics, being brought up culturally and economics, and I've interpreted dreams in different countries, so... A yellow school bus means something completely different to us here in the U.S. than it does in a third world country. And so, you know, everyone has their own language. You know, if you're dreaming of being in a trailer or a mobile home park, but you were raised in upper class, it will mean something completely different to you than if someone who was raised in a trailer dreams of a trailer, right? So,
right.
Really getting people to come to an understanding of how... To understand their own dream language in order to interpret their own dreams.
That's good. That's actually really good because that's something that I know when I took my course, I was like, I'm going to have to, I would need to know that person so well in order to analyze their dream because it wasn't that simple. It wasn't like, you know, you see all those dream dictionaries and, well, if you dream about this, it means, it means one of these type of things, but until you really know what's going on in that person's life, you really don't know exactly what that dream means to them. So that's a really good point, and that's a really great thing to have to, you know, to think about and to, you know, for people to learn about and understand what each of these things mean to them. Do you still find importance in the symbols?
I do find importance in the symbols, and I do tell people, you know, here's the way I liken symbols. You know, I'm in law, and so I study code, and I study statutes and stuff like that in my professional day life. And, you know, I don't need it until I need it, right? And so I tell people, study the symbols. Put them in. They're like files. But honestly, until you have the picture, which is the dream which God has given you, and the files in which you were faithful to come to an understanding and knowing about, the more and more you interpret your dreams, the more symbols you're going to know, or you study symbols. I've studied symbols for years and years and years. But I'm not the one who puts them together. I just have the files inside of me. Each symbol is a file, and the picture, and I rely on God to put those two things together. And I I try to steer people away from me being their dream interpreter. Their, you know, I can coach you to get there, but I believe that there's always an element of the dream that I will not be able to get. It can only come with a relationship between God and that person. I'm a mediator.
Right, right.
And it is difficult if you don't know that person. You can only go so far. And if people call in, I can give you the core of the message. You know, I can teach you how to get the core of the message. But every single element of that dream means something. It's
right.
Not random.
Well, like that's what I always tell people too, is when I'm doing it, I'm like, you have to figure out how this fits into your life. I'm going to tell you what these symbols basically usually mean, but you're going to have to, the work has to be done really by you in order to figure out how it works. And that's one of the things that, you know, when I say for people to call in and tell us about their dreams and get some assistance on what it might mean, it's basically, they're not going to be, you know, we're not going to know their dirty little secrets if they have dirty little secrets.
Right.
Because we are not them. We're not living their life. So we don't know what they're what's really going on, that they're going to, they have to, it is self, there's a lot of self work involved, which I think there is with most of this sort of topic, anything holistic or, you know, metaphysical related, that there's a lot of self work involved too. But, you know, I think that's really, really good. Everybody also, just to say, the chat room's also open. So if you have any questions that you want to bring up in the chat room instead of coming live on the air, you can do that as well. But I had lots of things that I wanted to ask you, Amy. One is, why do we dream at all? Why do you think we dream at all? And where, I mean, and I know you're saying these dreams come from God. You know, is it through our subconscious? What's going on there?
Well, there's a scripture in Job 33, if you read the Bible, and I love this scripture, and it says that upon man's bed in deep sleep, in slumber, God sealeth his instructions in a dream in the night. And I really took that scripture to heart, and I believe that we do not walk this journey alone, that we do have guidance from God, and that, you know, I've interpreted too many dreams to not believe that. And I do believe that it is for guidance, it's for self-realization, it's for warning, it's for prayer, it's for words of knowledge, it's for strategy. Because he's completely involved in your life, because God is completely involved in your life and wants you to have destiny and be successful.
This is a weird question, but like in your interpretation, what do you think of God as? I mean, you know, we use God, but some people would use Jesus, or some people would, you know, are you talking about like God as a universal and like, you know, like the creator of the universe kind of, I mean, I always think of God as the creator of the universe and the person that oversees everything and, you know, that kind of thing. What do you think there?
I believe that God is the creator of the universe. I believe that he's the creator of all mankind and in charge of destiny. He gives us free will. And I believe that Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and that I go to scripture to bring balance and harmony to my life, because I believe that's where the balance is. That's my pendulum. I mean, that's my line, my boundary line. That's my control. That's what keeps everything straight for me. And I believe everything goes back to that place.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good. Everybody's interpretation is different, and that's why I ask, because we're using the word, the term God, and, you know, and everybody has their different definition, and that doesn't make anybody else right or wrong. It's nice to know when you're talking to somebody exactly what their interpretation is and what, you know, what's going on.
I'll tell you this is interesting that you bring that up, because there's a very, and I tell people in my classes, it's a very, very fine line and a very small piece of the pie for Christians who even believe in dream interpretation. It's very small when you look at Christianity as a whole. And I really believe I am a missionary to the Christians and an understanding that, hey, New Agers, I joke around in my conferences, but I really mean this. If I could take a New Ager and a Baptist and put them together, I'd have the perfect Christian, right? So
right.
A real in-depth understanding of Scripture. And then, but the understanding the spirituality of what New Agers walk in and having an understanding that, hey, they've got it. They have it. You know, if it was ever created and you can see it and it's manifested on earth, there's an original root, and that root was good, and that is in God. And so we don't have, as Christians, we don't have to be scared of New Agers or metaphysical. It is there, and it's for us to understand. And unfortunately, as Christians don't, if it even smells like New Age, they push it away.
Yes, I have seen that. I have seen that a lot, and you know, and we're not, and it's not separate. It's all part of the mm-hmm. same, you know, same thing. It's all part of the same. It's part of the same belief system. It's just a different interpretation of, I think, the same belief system. So, you know, I find that the title differences, I think we separate ourselves a little bit too much because we're all really believing the same thing, mm-hmm. you know, but we're just making it different. So tell me, how did you get into this? How did you start interpreting dreams? We already have callers waiting, by the way. I promise I'll get to you soon. But let's get a little more information. What got you into this? What made you start? You said you started in law?
Well, my profession is I'm a paralegal, and so I have always had this side of me that has been very spiritual. I come from the church background. We're missionaries in Honduras. We've been pastors of church. My husband was an assistant pastor at a church and a youth pastor and worship pastor, and I just had real difficulty in that church. A lot of difficulty, and I pulled way back, just kind of questioning the whole church deal. And so I quietly began taking dream interpretation courses online. You know, I just thought, you know, this is just silly and just something to do and give me something to do to get my focus off of, you know, what was going on. And I really believed, and I had a gift for it. It made sense. I understood the aha moment of God, what I call that aha moment of God, the weightiness of God, the revelation that comes with getting a dream that's properly interpreted. And then I got a phone call from an international ministry who wanted me to fly up and take some teaching courses, and off to the races I was. It was the destiny of God. And I've been teaching ever since. And I realized that when I see the light bulb go off in someone's head that says God is personally involved in your life and he's speaking to you, I think that is the moment that I crave and I love and I enjoy.
Yeah, that, you know, it's so beautiful when you have that. All of a sudden, you just know what you're meant to do. You know, like how you're meant to help, what your purpose is. And you know, it feels so good. It's such a great moment. If you don't mind, I'm going to get to a caller we have online. I may know who this is. I'm not sure. hold on one second. Let's see. 561 area code.
Yes. Hi. I'm a friend of Darius.
Oh.
And
Darius.
I wonder, do you interpret dreams at all? Because I had a wild dream last night.
I do, yes. We can interpret it together. How about that?
Oh, that'd be awesome. Anyway, I dreamt that there was a dog in bed with me, and I actually got up out of bed last night and petted the dog, and then I actually woke up, and I went, oh, my gosh, it was a dream, and it seemed so real. What does that mean?
Okay, and this was last night. Now,
and it's never happened before.
And it felt real, and in the dream, you said you got up in the dream and went and pet the dog?
I got up in the dream and petted the dog, and then I petted the dog again, and then I woke up and I went, oh my God, it's only a dream. Shucks.
Yeah. Now, what did the dog look like?
Oh, he looked like a Jack Russell Terrier.
Okay. And do you have dogs? Are you a dog person?
I used to have dogs, yeah.
Okay. But you're not afraid of them or anything like that?
Oh, no, not at all. I love animals.
One of the things that I would like to point out is that you, in the dream, you were in your bed. And that is what we call the anchor of the dream.
Uh-huh.
And so that's going to tell us where we're going to go with this dream, you know, whether it be relational, whether it be work, whether it be your calling, whether it be a warning or anything like that. And so we take the anchor of the dream, and it has to do with the bed. Well, tell me, what does a bed mean to you? I mean, let's walk through this. Not many people are in your bed, I hope, right?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Me, myself, and I.
All right. So only people who are intimate with you, right, would be in your bed.
Correct.
So not very many people go into your bedroom. So we want to think this is something that has to do with something very intimate in your life. And now what would a dog mean? Dog, maybe man's best friend.
Yeah, cuddly.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh, cuddly. You have all those words that come to your head. So I would think that this has something to do with very intimate part of your life, and that you're in bed with something. That could mean relationally, speaking contractually, maybe a contract with somebody that you're very, very close to. It could be God saying, hey, this is okay, you can get closer to this person, this friend. So I would say, where in your life would you feel like you're coming into close contact, and maybe you've questioned, hey, should I take this relationship on, or should I bring this person in closer to me? Because I think the dog may represent somebody who you are man's best friend, basically, man's best friend. Or
right.
Even you can take this and say,
I'm not really in a relationship with anybody right now.
Friendship.
Yeah, I mean, I have great friends.
And it could also speak of you being yourself, being man's best friend, being your own best friend, and maybe the dog being a reflection of who you are, which is cuddly and nice, and maybe God saying, hey, this is... And so I would look at even possibly looking up what type of dog it is and looking at the characteristics of that dog.
Okay.
You say
that's interesting. I'll tell you... I watch Frasier. Have you ever watched Frasier?
Yeah.
Yeah, with Eddie, the dog.
Yes. Right.
And it might have been a reflection of Eddie, because I just think that dog just cracks me up. He's so funny. He's like a human. He's very humanistic.
Now, here's the point I want to make, that whenever you listen to the dreamer, you want to take the nuances of what the dreamer is saying. And this dreamer just said Eddie. In fact, when she talks about the dog, she even has a name that it reminds her of. So what I would do is go and look up the word Eddie or Edward and what that means.
And okay, that was my dad's name. Isn't that interesting?
Very. And what's your relationship with your dad?
Oh, we were very close.
Okay. And it also, Edward also speaks of guardian of happiness and maybe even appointed to protect. And dogs are protectors, right? And that's actually what Eddie's name means, is to protect, the guardian to protect. And so I really believe that what God is saying to you is that there is a level of protection that you have, that you don't have to even fear coming close to others or allowing people in too close. Maybe you have been mistrusting, or things have happened to, you might put people on guard, and he's saying, hey, I'm here, I'm going to protect you. I'm even going to protect you from yourself, and coming into a place of really getting an understanding of who you are, and even look at the relationship with your father and go through that and look at. So I would take this dream at every angle. What's my relationship with others? Do I allow them in? What's my relationship with myself? Am I all that I can be? Look up the characteristics of Jack Russell. And then what's my relationship with my father? Not so much your father, but your father, even God.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
And it all has to do with intimacy. The whole core of the dream has to do with intimacy. And that's why in the dream you were with
me. Oh, interesting.
And stroking the dog is nurturing it, right? You've got to nurture those relationships. Nurture the relationship with yourself. Nurture the relationship with God. Nurture your relationship with your friends. Nature, the relationship even with your father. Does that help?
Very helpful, yes.
Good.
I can't thank you enough. What is your name again?
My name is Amy Coelho.
Amy Coelho, very nice meeting you today. And
thank
have
you.
A blessed day. Thanks.
You too.
Thanks for calling
right.
in.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See, one of the things that I teach people is always listen to the nuances of what the dreamer says, because sometimes the dreamer will speak what we call soul interjection, and they'll even lead us and guide us to that place that they're talking about. You notice how she said it reminded me of Eddie the dog from Frasier.
Right.
Well, I would immediately go look up the name Eddie. What is Eddie?
Right. Well, and then her father's name was, you know, being Eddie too, and say he's we didn't even ask, but say he's passed on or something. It could have been, you know, her could have been like a spiritual kind of, you know, her dad coming to her saying, "Hey, I'm protecting you. I'm taking care of you. I'm still here." You know, that kind of thing. So you're right. There are so many ways to look at it, and it's not simple. I mean, it's not a simple process.
Yeah, and we always have to rely on the weight of where the dreamer, what hits home with the dreamer, what becomes revelation with the dreamer. All I can do is take you by the hand and guide you through, and I wait to see where the weight of the dream falls, the Rhema word of God falls.
Right. Well, okay, so tell us about the different levels of sleep. I know all the different, you know, it's basically brainwave activity. It's not necessarily sleep, but sleep plays a part in the brainwave activity. REM sleep is when you're in, I believe, alpha, right?
Alpha
level.
Yep.
So for people that don't understand how your brain goes from, okay, we're talking and you're getting into bed and you brush your teeth and you're doing whatever and you set your alarm clock and you climb into bed and all of a sudden you're rehashing everything that went on today, everything that's going to go on tomorrow, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then what's happening to your brain there?
You know, and of course I used to have a sleep therapist in one of my classes for about a year. He was great to kind of lean on because I teach the spiritual side of dreams. And so he was interesting to speak on the medical side of dreams. But we believe that you dream at least 4 or 5 times a night. And the longest of the dreams are about when you wake up. And that's what we call twilight dreaming, when it seems so real and it's right when you're about to wake up. You kind of wake up in the middle of it. Those dreams are probably about an hour long. But interspersedly through the night, you'll have a 20-minute dream, and then you'll go back in and out of REM sleep. You'll go through the alpha, beta, theta stage. When you get into that theta stage, that's when your brain begins to start seeing the pictures, and that's where we believe you engage. And I always liken when someone kind of hits you right when you're about to go to sleep and you feel that whoosh feeling. You know, I believe that part in the brain is spiritual place.
Is that the same thing as like you're falling, like you step off a sidewalk and you fall?
Mm-hmm.
So that's
that
same. I hate that.
That whoosh feeling. Yeah.
Yeah, it makes you jump. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like not one of my favorite parts. So if somebody were, like, if you did a sleep study or something and somebody were constantly awakened during, and I think you mentioned this in your book, because I think this is where I got the question from. If you're consistently over time awakened while you are in REM sleep, what happens? What would happen to you? Because we need to dream.
We need to dream, yes.
REM sleep.
The Hebrews actually said that if they went 3 days without a dream, they would believe that something was wrong with their relationship with God. Because remember, they didn't carry around Torahs in their back jean pocket, right?
Right.
So they relied on their dreams, and all through text and scripture you can see where they relied on dreams. Now, take that into a medical aspect, and if you don't dream, within 3 days, you can possibly have a nervous breakdown. You've got to dream. And even though people don't remember their dreams, remembering your dream is actually practice. you can practice to become better at remembering your dreams. But that you'll have a nervous breakdown. You've got to dream.
Yeah, I have clients tell me all the time, I don't dream. I'm like, yeah, you do. Dream.
You do dream. And now the real question is, how can we get, you know, and then I've got, you know, people who dream nonstop and these lengthy saga dreams, and every night they're like, slow down, I can't keep up with it, you know, because they're trying to analyze, but every night it's a saga dream. And I call those prophetic people because they have just amazing dreams, intercessory dreams. But the real question is, how do we get, and I ask this in my conference too, raise your hand if you're not dreaming, because I, you know, I release a blessing over them and pray for them, and you know, let's go back. You know, there are different reasons you may not be remembering your dreams. You know, were you faithful to follow the last dream given to you? You know, sometimes it just pulls away because you've got to go back to that place and remember that dream that you had last. Oftentimes, you know, you should tell yourself, dreams aren't real, I don't believe in dreams. Subconsciously, that could be a core message. And therefore, you won't remember your dreams because you've told your body subconsciously that they're not important.
Right.
And
right.
So your reticular activation system kind of shuts down.
All right. I just want to give the phone number out real quick again. If you want to call in and talk to Amy, you can call in at 347-945-7246. And then press 1 and you will get in my queue. Again, the number is 347-945-7246. Why are our dreams, Amy, so flipping bizarre? Why do we dream when you think about it, even if you understand why you had the dream, why are they bizarre?
You know, and I will take you, again, I'm going to take you back to Scripture. And there's some scriptures that say that God is dark speech and riddled language. He speaks in dark speech, riddled language. It's a veiled language, and only those who have eyes to see can see, and only those that have ears to hear can hear. And I call it the parabolic language of heaven. And when you go and read through all the parables in the Bible, you'll see how Jesus even spoke in very, very riddled language. Not many people could understand it. And even now, when you go to study it, it's called Pardes, P-A-R-D-E-S, and that is the Hebraic view of revelation. You have the written word, and then you have the understanding behind the written word, and then you have deep levels of revelation. It's you can't exhaust it. And the same thing with dreams. Dreams are spirit-to-spirit communication, just like Scripture is. It's spirit-to-spirit communication. And so you can't exhaust that. And it's a language that it's a heavenly language, a parabolic language. And only those who want to search, pine after, and go after, and run after will ever understand and have an understanding and seeing. Because if it was written in the written language, and it was just everyday pictures, it would not cause you to run after something greater than yourself.
Right. No, that makes sense. It's so interesting though that you sit there and you're like, I mean, I have to tell you, I wake up giggling more sometimes than anything else, because I'm just like, what in the heck was that supposed to mean, you know? And it was just like, and then, you know, and then I sit there. For me, I think it's harder to, and I don't know, if you probably don't have this because you're way more educated in the dream analysis than I am. It was literally a course that I took, and although I've studied it on my own quite a bit, as a metaphysician and as a holistic health practitioner, it's not one of my main things I do. But I think for me, it's harder to interpret my own dreams than someone else's. Like I can talk someone through, like what you just did with our caller. I can talk someone through and figure out what their dream was about pretty easily, you know. But I can't figure my own out.
No, I can't either. And I laugh because and I've boiled it down to this. I just don't trust myself enough to interpret my own dreams. I'm just too biased. And I think that's why, if you notice, God made everything interdependent. Trees need soil, they need light, they need water. We babies need their moms, children need parents. You know, we're all interdependent.
Right.
And I think you have to, and that's why I have these dream circles and dream, you know, where people can go to dream coaching and learning how to understand your dreams. I think everybody should have a core of friends that they can bounce off ideas that are going to tell them the truth.
Right.
You know, I think you're being sassy the way you're looking at this situation, and God's
right.
trying to say, hey, there's a warning here. If you keep doing this, you know, this is going to happen. And not those feel-good friends, but people are just going to really tell you like it is.
Yeah,
and,
well, yeah, most of my friends do that.
Yeah, right.
Thank God, because that's what they get back from me. So
yeah, right.
They get the truth. Right. You know, one of the things that you mentioned about it being like crossing over to, I always tell people that when you're sleeping, that's when we cross over and we're living in the spirit form again. We're visiting the spiritual realm. Sometimes wake up. My mom passed away 5 years ago, very unexpectedly. She was 68 and totally healthy, but she had knee surgery and ended up dying. And we were like best friends. I mean, we were so close. And one thing that happens with me a lot is I will wake up and I will feel like my mom is in the room. I will feel like I just had this long conversation with her. But I won't remember a thing. I won't remember anything. And so I always have believed that I crossed over. I visited with my mom, but I'm not allowed for some reason to bring those memories back. And I'm not sure why that is. But, you know, there are lots of things that we're not supposed to know until we're there, you know. Do you think that's true? Do you think that we do visit with deceased loved ones and things in our dreams?
Well, you know, I have so many times, especially, you know, when I'm out in the streets, we do these dream booths and stuff, and where we'll go and set up in a mall or something like that. And the main dream that comes every time I go set up a booth, you'll get it 10 times out of 11, I dreamt about my mom and she passed away, or I dreamt about my uncle and she passed away. And the one thing that I've noticed with thousands and thousands of dreams that I have interpreted is that they always come back with a message if they come and they appear in a dream. And I believe that is God sending a message and using the comforting symbol to do that. They also, anytime that people have passed away and I talk to people who've been in a room with people who've passed away. What do they say? One of the things they always say is that they start talking to people in the room, right? And they call them delusions. But they begin to talk to people who have crossed over and are, you know, coming back, and I believe that are kind of taking them back. But, they, you know, you can't tell me that's not real when you talk to people who've been in a room when someone's passed away and they are talking to past loved ones. So I believe that there is a level of interaction, whether that be symbolic because of a comforting message or whether that be an actual encounter. You know what? I guess we'll know on the other side, huh?
Yeah, and that's exactly what I always think. I mean, for me, like, I'm able to channel other people's deceased loved ones. I'm able to, you know, I have some abilities to some psychic abilities, and that's a big part of my practice. And my mother has never come through to me at all. I felt her presence absolutely a few times, but except in these dreams when I wake up and I remember, like, I feel like I was just talking to her, but I, you know, there's just no detail. So, you know, for me, it's like, it's almost like my only confirmation, because, you know, you sit there and when it doesn't happen for you, and this is a very common thing that mediums and psychics and things have, is that they're useless for themselves, but they're great with other people. You know, so for me, sometimes I guess I get self-doubt, you know, I start doubting whether or not if of all people, wouldn't my mom come through to me? You know, if I have this ability, what's going on? And then I think that it's just, you know, I think it's just a way of, if I were able to communicate with my mom now, like I can with other deceased people, would I actually be able to move on, or would I stay stuck in that mom role? You know what I mean? Where I'm the daughter and she's the mom, and I'm still looking for her approval and all that kind of thing. So I think there's a lot of different aspects there. But you know, I want to get into, you have a lot in your book. You talk about the different levels of dreaming, and I want to get into that. But first, I want to take a commercial break, and just about a 3 minute, four, 3.5 minute break, so everyone can go get a soft drink or whatever time of day. Maybe you're still drinking coffee. Who knows? Everybody go take a break, and remember, you can call in and ask Amy any questions you have about dreams or about a dream you've had. The number to call in is 347-945-7246, and you press 1, and you will be in the queue. And until then, just hang on with me, and we will be back right after this commercial.
Hi, this is Jennifer Coolidge. The American Heart Association says the disco song Stayin' Alive is the near-perfect beat for hands-only CPR. If you see a teen or adult collapse from cardiac arrest, you only need 2 steps to help save a life. Call 911 and push hard and fast in the center of the chest to the beat of the song Stayin' Alive. Disco is back and it's saving lives. To learn more, go to heart.org/hands-only-CPR.
Nationally supported by the WellPoint Foundation.
Hi, this is Daria Ann, author and founder of the WriteStream Radio Network. If you're an author, writer, blogger, or just someone who enjoys reading and learning, I hope you'll tune in to our inspiring, insightful, and educational programs. Every Sunday, join author and metaphysician Lisa Tarvez for Just Believe at 1 p.m. Eastern, when she explores a variety of spiritual topics, including alternative healing modalities. A gifted intuitive from a young age, Lisa's book, entitled Just Believe, chronicles her journey from a childhood of seeing and communicating with angels to a career in which she uses her talents to help others emotionally, spiritually, and physically. Each week, she interviews experts in the fields of personal growth, spiritual development, and alternative medicine. Military Mondays with author and military historian John D. Gresham analyzes current events and issues from the perspective of the United States military. Tune in at 1 p.m. Eastern every Monday when John, author of such books as Uncommon Valor and journalist for the Defense Media Network, interviews accomplished guests on important topics like national security and defense and global terrorism. WriteStream Tuesdays with Daria Ann airs at 1 p.m. Eastern and welcomes authors in diverse genres, including romance, drama, military history, spirituality, and politics. We also speak social, discussing the benefits and pitfalls of social media platforms and the numerous and plentiful publishing formats now available with various experts in order to help other authors navigate through new technology to reach higher levels of success. During every broadcast, we welcome your calls at 347-945-7246. And of course, the chat room is always open. Can't listen live? No worries. Just go to blogtalkradio.com/WriteStream to listen to the archives. And be sure to join us for our weekly Thursday WriteStream Twitter chat at 11 a.m. Eastern using the hashtag WriteStream on Twitter. Rejoice in the flow of creativity with the WriteStream Radio Network and the WriteStream Twitter chat.
Okay, everyone, we're back. This is Just Believe Radio, and our guest today is Amy Coelho, and she is a dream coach. And Amy, you actually do workshops and speaking engagements, right?
Yes.
Do you get a lot of traveling? Are you in lots of different cities, or do you mostly do local?
I actually have tried to, in the last year, come off from traveling as much, just because I've got a ton of children. So, and we had my last child, my ninth child, a year ago. So, looks like we'll be probably ramping back up. Really wanted to try to come off the road and do more of a virtual webinars and just to reach more people and be able to stay at home. You know, you can go to a conference and you can sit in my conference for a weekend and you can learn, you know, so much or, you know, and be dangerous. Or you can take some webinars on a regular basis and become proficient at your gift. And so that's kind of where I'm headed, more in the virtual arena.
You let people post their dreams. Is that on your website or is that on Facebook?
It's on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So the people actually can post their dreams for interpretation, on your Facebook page, which is dreams-a-window-into-destiny. Actually, wow. That's a really long Facebook thing.
I know.
Did they shorten that for you?
I don't know why they did that. I have a team that kind of handles that Facebook site, so I haven't been on there in a while.
Yeah, so, well, I'm sure everybody can go to your website, which, what's your website address?
It's amycoello.com, www.amycoello.com, or dreamsbyamy.com, which is easier than trying to remember my last name.
Yeah, and it's easier than trying to remember that Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dreams are a window into a journey into your dream. Dreams is a journey into your dreams, or a window into your destiny. A window into your destiny is a Facebook site, and it's interactive with people. I've got another site that has been pretty picking up some dust, and that's the Prophetic Dreams and Symbols Facebook. And so, if you punch in Prophetic Dreams and Symbols, about 1,000 people on there.
Wow.
You know, it's very, very interactive.
Well, that's nice. Interactive Facebook pages are always nice.
Yeah.
And interactive websites in general are always nice.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the things that I always wonder is, do you find that people, and this is silly, again, another silly question, but do people dream in black and white or color? And if they do, is there a reason that they're doing one or the other?
I believe that God is the creator of color and that the enemy of our soul cannot create. He can only imitate. And so we believe that black and white dreams are from the enemy of our soul, whether that be from an enemy outside source, what we believe is Satan, the devil, or, you know, Lucifer, whatever you want to call it. Or even just ourselves, the enemy of ourselves, a wrong subconscious, core subconscious belief system, soul interjection, whatnot. And then the dreams that you do remember, sometimes people just don't remember a color. But if they are remembering color, it is a very, very important to understand why it is that color. Because typically you'll remember the message of a dream, but not really colors. So if you are remembering colors, then it's very, very important to find out why. That's very important.
Does it matter that, okay, so say I dream of I'm wearing a pink jacket, and I don't remember seeing myself in the pink jacket, just knowing that it was a pink jacket.
Yeah.
Is that typical? Is that what people do?
Very common, yeah. In fact, I even tell people, they're like, well, I think I was wearing a red shirt. It could have been orange. And I try to tell people, let's pull it down. Lock in on it, because sometimes they waver because they don't, you know, again, it's soul interjection. Pull it down. I try to get them to latch on whether it was, and I'll ask them directly, was it red or was it yellow? Go with your first instinct, because, you know, or sometimes they'll remember, well, I think the person I was with was my cousin, could have been my niece. No, you do know, so latch on. Some people are afraid to just pull it down, so...
Yeah.
And those, again, are the nuances of listening to a dreamer. You've got to catch the nuances.
Yeah. For me, I know that I'll wake up and I'll be like, that's my big thing. I'm like, is there color in my dream? Because, you know, there's so many people that swear you only dream in black and white. And I'm like, well, no, I know I've dreamt in color, but then I can't actually recall seeing the color, just knowing what the color was. So it's a little bizarre. You know, okay, so here's a common dream that I have that I know is a common dream that a lot of people have, but I cannot for the life of me figure out why I have it, and I know it's something simple, but it's just one of those things that for me, I just can't, you know, I'll explain it. I dream a lot of times, and usually it's when I'm in a not so good place, you know how when you get in those not so good places, had a bad day or whatever. Teeth. My teeth are very, very loose, or they fall out and I push them back in, and then I'm racing to get to the dentist to have it fixed.
Yes, that is a very common dream. For a season, I was going through a really bad season with the church I mentioned earlier in the program, and I kept dreaming that I had braces on, and I was having to get them switched around, or my teeth weren't straight, or whatnot. Teeth can represent words that you're chewing on. It could be words that you're telling yourself, maybe core belief words. You know, when you're not in unity with the Spirit of God, sometimes, you know, when you're having that bad place or that day, it could be words that you're chewing on. It can also be something else that you're chewing on. You know, when you chew the meat of something, chew the meat and spit out the bones, kind of thing. Broken teeth can also mean broken relationships. And
right.
Sometimes that could be a broken relationship with ourselves.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, we all go through that. I mean, we all go through, no matter how spiritually minded we are, no matter how connected to God we are, you know, there's nobody that's 100% perfectly connected all the time. We all have our dark moments, and that's just life. I mean, that's just the way it works. So, you know, I think that totally makes sense. It drives me crazy because I'm always like, what does this mean? And I start thinking, wow, am I that vain that I'm so worried about my people looking at me and being like, oh my God, she doesn't have any teeth, you know, or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, and then, you know, front teeth can speak of identity, because what's the one thing that you do is it messes with your identity. You try to hide it. You smile in the dream and you want to hide. The teeth right next to, or not right next to your front teeth, but your what's called your eye teeth.
Right.
If those fall out in a dream or cracked, sometimes those are called your eye teeth, and those are your vision. Maybe you're not seeing something correctly, a loss of being able insight on something.
Right.
Your molars are what chews on things, so maybe you're chewing on something that's not within unity or that's not harmonious to your well-being. Could be chewing on something that you shouldn't be. If you're spitting it out, you know, that again can change up. But so what teeth are cracked and broken also means something too.
Yeah, mine are always falling out, and they're all completely falling out, not cracked, not broken, just boom, falling out, and it's always my front teeth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every time. You know, and it never varies. It's just, I mean, the dream varies, of course, like, you know, what I'm doing, why, you know, how, but it's always like I'm racing to get them fixed. I'm racing to get them fixed, you know. And to me, I was always like, wow, I must be like the most vain person in the world. Why am I doing this?
Yeah, well, and your front teeth, again, can speak of your identity. Maybe something is coming against your identity and what that speaks of, and racing to get it fixed also speaks of your ability to know where to get the answer.
Right.
So it could be speaking of quickly come back into a place of wholeness.
And I think for everybody, and I believe this is really true for most people, we really do know intuitively in our gut what we have to do to solve a problem. We know where we have to go to get the answers. And sometimes we're just either out of fear not going there, or we're just avoiding, procrastinating, whatever it is. There are a lot of things that make us not necessarily go after the answer. You know, a lot of times it's fear of having to make changes. You know what I mean? Like, nobody likes change, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it could be something like that. Okay, I wanted to get to, you talk about levels of dreaming, and this was fascinating to me. Again, anybody that wants to call in, the number's 347-945-7246. And so talk about, you have, that's several, I think you have a chapter for each one of the levels in your book, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so what are those levels? What do the levels mean?
I think there's different, one of the things I've found in teaching on dreams is that people go to different depths and different levels of revelation in their dreams. And if you ever want to study depths of revelation, go to the Torah and the Hebraic model of Pardes, P-A-R-D-E-S, and it really takes you through different levels of revelation. I believe that, and I have, this has been proven and proven in my conferences, that when there's one level of dreaming, and that is the fact that you have dreamt and that you recognize that you're dreaming. Either you're playing an active role or a non-active role, but you recognize, you know, that you just wake up and you dreamt. You wake up and you realize you were dreaming.
Oh, radio.
Oops, hold on 1 second. Go ahead.
And so that's the level one. And then there's the dream that you recognize that when you're in the dream, you recognize you're dreaming, right? So you're coming to a better place of knowing and being in tune spiritually with who you are. You're in the dream and you recognize you're dreaming. Then there's the next level of dreaming, which is what we call lucid dreaming. And that's level two. And that is when you're in the dream, you recognize you're in the dream, and you begin to move around the dream, knowing that it's a dream, where you can take authority over the events in the dream. You can cause things to change in a dream. You can actually come out of a dream and go back into it. Have you ever gotten up from and you were in a dream, and you went to the bathroom, you came back, and you went back into the dream?
Yeah, because most times I really want to. I'm like, darn it, I wanted to finish that.
You know, when I tell people in my conferences, raise your hand if you have ever been in a dream and recognized you're dreaming, there are very few people will raise their hand. And I tell them, repeat after me, I give myself permission to go to deeper levels in my dream realm. And until you know that you can control a dream, you can't do it because you're limited by the lack of knowledge. And so once they realize and they see other people raising their hand and then releasing a testimony about it, yes, here's my testimony I have about being in a dream and there was a car accident. I woke up, it scared me. I went back into the dream and I had the dream again and the car missed me. So I didn't wreck my car. And so that can be, so then you release that testimony and people catch that. Right? And so then they're able to go and lucid dream. There are people, I know my son, who's 14, he has tried practicing lucid dreaming forever. Some people can do it without a whole lot of effort. They can just go there, and some people have to practice lucid dreaming and becoming aware of your dream. There's an app that I got. I don't know how safe it is to have your phone next to you all night long. But there's an app you can get called Lucid Dreaming, and it actually makes clicking noises, and it'll know where you're at, and so it'll kind of wake you up.
Yeah, I've seen that app.
Where Inception, they have the yellow, you know, Inception, it has the colored thing, and every time you see it in a dream, you'll know you're dreaming.
How does that possibly work? How do they know that?
Well, you train your body to see something or to hear a noise. And that's what that app does. It trains your body to hear noise or see something that will wake you up, but you're still in theta. And so it will bring you to awareness or consciousness past your subconscious and your spiritual, the spiritual element where you're walking, the realm in which you're walking in. It'll bring you back to that awareness. So you're aware that you're dreaming. And that's one of the levels. And it's usually from about 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. if you're on and we call it the fourth watch. And that's kind of where you do your lucid dreaming. I write a lot about it, lucid dreaming, in my book. And then there's another place in dreaming, which is really interesting, where you are able to, it's really the most profitable, I think, for gaining wisdom and revelation. This is where God actually interprets the dreams while you're in the dream. They'll interpret the elements. So basically, you'll have a dream, and you'll walk through it, and then you'll start over. The dream completely starts over again. right? But this time you're walking with someone in a dream. You can't see their face. They're faceless, which we believe are angelic and demonic encounters. You're walking through the dream. You feel safe and secure. Usually you're walking with three people. Typically in dreams, you're always with three faceless people. And he will begin to point out symbols, and he'll interpret the symbols for you as you're walking through the dream. And that is an angelic encounter. And those are fun. And they come to bring, it's an actual encounter. People say, oh, I had this dream, but it felt so real. Because it was.
Right.
It was an encounter that you had.
Right. Yeah, and that's pretty cool. I mean, I have those all the time, and I have the, precognitive dreams, and I have, all the different stuff that happens. I have lots of them, and I can wake up and I can be very, very aware of exactly why I dreamt what I just dreamt, or mm-hmm. sometimes prepared for something that's about to happen. A lot of times I'll have a dream and it'll make no sense to me when I wake up, and but I know every single time it's going to make sense to me when whatever clients I'm seeing that day, one of those clients, it's going to make sense because it's for them, you know.
That's
and that
even goes along with, I mean, have you ever been walking through your day? You get up, you get ready for work, you go about your day, and about 2 o'clock, something happens, and it triggers something, and the person goes, oh, whoa, I just had a dream.
That dream, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's unlocking that which was sealed, right? And so, and that's kind of what I talk about with deja vu. When we have deja vu, we are really, it is the spiritual and the natural colliding together. It is a place where you know that you're in the right place, you're where God wants you, because there is no time. And people say, oh, my God, I feel like this just happened. No, it has, because remember, we operate
in
the spiritual realm.
Can you hear me? No, yeah, you cut out for a minute, but you're back.
Okay. It's the spiritual, deja vu is the spiritual and the natural colliding together. And that is a place where they say, oh, I feel like this has just happened to me, or I feel like I've been here before, because you have, because our spirit doesn't operate within time. And so the dream realm is a place, it's a spiritual place, so there is no boundaries of time, right? And when we dream, we lift ourselves out of time, and we operate in the spirit realm, and that's where deja vu is taking place.
Yeah, deja vu blows my mind every time I have it. I'm like, that is so cool.
It is cool. Yeah, when you learn how to work with it, it's even cooler.
Yeah, yeah. So we were talking about the different levels of dreaming. Did we cover all of those?
We covered those. Do you want to talk about different types of dreams, purging dreams?
That was my next question. You also talk about dream types, and that was another thing that I wanted to ask you about.
Yeah, we've kind of categorized, and we've seen these dreams, and we've kind of categorized them. We have healing dreams, which are, and I've been studying this just recently. Now, this is so interesting. Now, I have heard and heard and heard of healing dreams, people who have been alerted to different things in their dreams, and things that with healing that they've had went to take. And I mentioned some stories in my book about a woman who was a naturalist and believed in a holistic approach, and she got cancer, and she needed to know that the break point of where she needs to know is, do I, take chemotherapy, or do I, take the natural approach? And
right.
She had ants in her stairwell, and she took a chemical and sprayed the ants. Well, that told her to go to chemotherapy. You better know that you've got to know yourself real, real well in order to, if you're a naturalist and you are going into a whole, if you're looking at a wholeness aspect. And so, we have the different, and this was very interesting, because I had a dream where, and I, everyone else had these healing dreams, right? Everybody had these healing dreams. In the healing dream, I had never had one before. So all of a sudden, I went to sleep, and I taught on this on my radio show, and I had this dream where I had a doctor come up to me and gave me a black pill. And he said, and he said, you need to take this black crustacean. And I was like, and so I woke up and I thought, black crustacean? And then as I was waking up, I heard the words krill. So I woke up and I'm like, I think I'm supposed to take krill oil, right?
Right, right.
And I just was so excited because I finally had my healing dream. You know, I had a dream where God knows better than me in my body, and I need to take some omega, but it was black crustacean. I'd never ever heard of krill oil, and then as I'm waking up, I hear the words krill. Now, that didn't come from me, right? And so we have these healing dreams where God will begin to tell you what you need to take and increase you and stuff like that, right?
Right.
And so those are important, and you've really got to be in tune with yourself in order to do that. Then we have warning dreams. Warning dreams are, they warn the dreamer not to do something. They can be repetitive warning dreams. They can tell you, they give you the type, you know, the type of, it can tell you something that's going to come, or it can even tell you how another person is, another person's perspective on a situation that you're going through, right? So that you know how to better handle that person. So it's a warning dream that this person or this situation is going to blow up, you know, take cover. And it'll give you, it'll also come with a strategy dream, which gives you strategy. One time I was going through a very, very serious situation with some leadership, and I had to go before a board. And when I was in front of the board, the dream that I had, I kept having these dreams of military operations. And they, in the dream, it began to tell me acts that they were taking. So when I would go into the board meeting, I knew exactly what they were going to say. And I already had words prepared for it. Because in the dream, in my dream, it was giving me the strategy for it to take place at that board meeting, right?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I know. And then we have what's called false dreams. And false dreams are what we believe are provoked by dark spirits, and that they're often filled with lies and, that will confuse and misdirect the dreamer. And so we've got to pay attention, and usually those are the ones that come in black and white, and they're specifically black and white, like you wake up and you remember they're black and white, right?
Right.
And then you have what's called body dreams. Now, these are fun. Body dreams, you know, you wake in the dream, you're cold or hot, or you hear water running, and then you wake up and you hear the water running, but it started out in the dream, or you need to go to the bathroom, and you wake up and you really need to go to the bathroom. And then you have sometimes, I had a fun one where you're cold in the dream, and you wake up and you realize your husband had taken the covers off of you, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you can look at that and think, okay, what is this dream symbol manifesting, right? And so could it be that I'm uncovered by my husband? Could it be that that I am being exposed in a way? You know, so you have to look at it. Is it a body dream where I'm just dreaming that I'm cold and then all of a sudden I wake up and the covers are off of me? But is that a real manifestation of something going on in the spirit realm? Remember, everything around us is a manifestation of the spirit realm.
Right, right. So I mean, no matter what dream type you're talking about, there's healing to be done. If, you know, even if it's just the acknowledgement of something that you're bearing, you know,
yeah.
There's always healing to be done from a dream. Do you believe that?
I believe that any step you take in the spirit realm brings a level of healing. And healing could come as knowledge. Healing can come as wisdom. Healing can come as just the recognition that something greater than you cares, right?
Right.
And I do believe that. But I also believe that that God is a God of war also, and that he is a God of love, and that he will give you strategy to withstand the enemy of our soul, you know, to give us self-realization. He's going to give us a dream that tells us who we are in order to get to the next place in our journey, to be promoted in our journey.
Right. Right. That makes a lot of sense. And it's interesting because, you know, I always think that the dreams are so healing and can be so very, very good for us to, if we understand them. But how do you feel about the symbols? I mean, how do you feel about the symbols in dreams? Like I use those symbols in dreams as the beginning of any analysis that I do. Those symbols are important, but now you're thinking, so if somebody is, like what you were saying with the caller that called in about her dream, the bed was personal, it was intimate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
symbols really go to
sound like that simply. I mean, is it just like a few, like can you take a bunch of different symbols and lump them into the same category being it's intimate? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think that you have to look at the symbol and think about it logically and talk through that symbol. You know, look at the symbol logically. Are you dreaming about a yellow school bus? Well, let's talk about a yellow school bus. What does it mean to you? Is a yellow school bus something that you rode on when you were going to school? Learning? Is it the season of learning? Is a yellow school bus represent teaching, a gift of teaching? You know, maybe you're a teacher. What does a yellow school bus mean? And it's talking through that with the dreamer to find out. You know, but there are some cores that just, you know, are just cores. Doors represent doors of opportunity, right? Windows, vision, something you see into the future with, something ahead of you. Front porch can speak of, you know, your future, whereas back porch can speak of your past. You know, there's some halls represent transition. You know, you're transitioning from one place to another in a hallway. There are some elements that are core, and that's why I like to go to the symbols. And I don't just go, in fact, I have a symbols book on my website at dreamsbyamy.com. I have a symbol book, and it has all different kinds of symbols. Why? Because one symbol may mean something to you, and one may not, but it's going to bear witness with you. You're going to feel the weight of it, and it's going to go, oh, that makes sense.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely.
So I think that, you know, numbers and dreams are just usually very specific.
Colors, yeah, I saw that. I don't know. I mean, that was actually when I was reading your book, numbers and dreams. How do you mean? I mean, do you actually see the number? Or because, I mean, in real life we do that.
We had a dreamer. It was really interesting. She called in last week on our show, and she had, in the dream, she was sitting down with her mentor, and she sat down with her mentor, and the mentor held up a piece of paper, and on the piece of paper it said 972,584. You know, it's just this real weird number.
Right.
And I said, there is something very specific about that number, and sometimes you see numbers when you wake up. Sometimes you're given money in a dream with a specific number. Numbers are very interesting in dreams. And sometimes you go through what's called and I can never remember the name of it, the guy math. It's math. I call it God math. So you can break it down. And there's a whole study on that, on the type of math. And I can't even remember what it is now, what it's called, the geomath. The mattress or something like that. I don't know. Probably one of the listeners will pop in the chat room and tell us. But you can kind of break it down and divide it out, and you kind of play with the number until it makes sense to you, you know, until that you have, again, the aha moment of God, right?
Right. Right. I mean, that's so very true. Those aha moments are amazing. What do you think's going on with people who swear that they never dream?
Well, you know, I ask them and I tell them how medically it's impossible. that's impossible that you don't dream, you'd be dead or have a nervous breakdown, you'd be in a loony bin right now. Medically, that's not true. Now the real question is why? That's the real question. Would you walk with me through this and find out the why of why you're not dreaming? You know, and most of the time, it all goes back to the core belief system that dreams don't mean anything.
So it's basically a belief that they have, I mean, like since they were children, or that they just...
Well, I think that it's when you don't think about, when you don't pine after, if you're not faithful with something, if you don't write it down or you don't go after it and you don't try to figure it out, your core belief system says it must not mean anything, you know? So therefore, it won't mean anything. So it kind of shuts, your body shuts it down and turns it off because it's called your reticular activation system. If we were to, we would be inundated with all the stuff our body takes in, but our brain is a filter. The reticular activation system is a filter. That's why if you're trying to get pregnant, all of a sudden you're at Walmart, you see every pregnant woman in your city is at Walmart that day.
How about okay? That? That's the truth, right?
Yeah, you want to buy a red... a red Kia, and all of a sudden, every car, every day, you see red Kias everywhere because your reticular activation has been set off, right? So it's allowing that filter. So we have a filter that's inside of us that allows things to come in. Our brain is just a babysitter, basically.
Right. It's so fascinating when you study brains. It's like brains. I mean, how brains work. I mean, even separate from dreams. It's mind-blowing,
yeah.
But when you get into when you're in an unconscious state and you're working these issues out, and this is all, like you're saying, it's all somebody being God trying to I also give the angels credit for this too. Help us with these things that we're not acknowledging. Help us be better. Help us be more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Help us to maybe get back on our soul path or get back on, you know, to where we're supposed to be going. And it's a really very, very interesting and fascinating. I mean, you could just study brain stuff all day. And dreams, dreams are just so, I mean, it was actually, like I said, for my bachelor's degree, it was a course. I was so excited, and I sat there scratching my head like, what?
What?
I mean, it was so complicated. It was so much, I just expected to be, oh, they're just going to give me a book of symbols. And I'm going to be like, oh, whoa, this means that means that, okay. Yeah, no, didn't work like that. Not at all.
Yeah, and when you realize that you can walk, you know, as a dream coach, you walk people to their understanding. I don't have all the answers. I don't profess to have all the answers. If you go to a dream coach who does profess to have, I believe there's always an element of the dream that you've got to figure out on your own. You've
absolutely
got to come into relationship with your God.
I completely say the same thing to everybody. I'm like, I can, you know, I can help you with some of the, I can help you set you in a certain direction, but you've got to really, this is such a personal thing, and
mm-hmm.
you know, and you don't want to dig in. I mean, it's not, you know, when somebody's talking to me about it, they're telling me a dream, which is an intimate thing anyway. And then when they, you know, when you start telling, if you started really breaking it down and you went too far with them, I just say, this is something you need to think about. Because otherwise people are like, wait a minute, you're starting to know a little bit too much about me.
Yeah. And you don't ever want to become that guide for somebody else. You know, you don't, I tell people all the time, you are not people's God. And you want to help get them to that place, but you never want to become the end-all to end-all answers. I have people who all the time, if I could tell you how many dreams I get a day to interpret, in fact, I stopped interpreting dreams for most people other than my core group of friends because it's just too much. It takes away from my other eight children. And so, you know, you don't want to, and I find people falling into a path of, you know what, I don't interpret dreams, I'm just going to have you do it, you know. And so you don't want to become that person for people. So I want to give you a little bit so that, you know, a little bit of guidance, a little bit of understanding of what I've known. And, you know, I didn't set out to take courses and training and stuff. I've learned as I went, and God has just increased my knowledge and my understanding of it, you know. So it's important.
Best way to learn. I mean, the best way to learn is by experience, and definitely by having, you know, your spirituality involved, where, you know, you're receiving information spiritually, whether during prayer or meditation. And, you know, the answers just come to you, because there's no question whether or not you're remembering it right, because you always remember. And when it comes to you like that, it's not something that slips away like it does when you, you know, read a book, read a line of a book, and then you're like, wait a minute, what did that say? You know, when it comes to you in a spiritual form, you know, you remember it. It sticks with you. I want to take another quick break, and then I want to ask you about a chapter that you had in your book, that you have in your book, called Getting Unstuck. I thought that was interesting, and so I wanted to talk a little bit about that, but let's take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Lisa Tarvis. I'm a metaphysician, board-certified holistic health practitioner, energy healer, intuitive, and the author of the book, Just Believe. I'm also a host on the Rightstream Network. My radio show is called Just Believe and airs every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. Please stop by my website at www.lisatarvis.com. That's LISATARVES. For details on all the services I offer, information on my book, and my radio show. There are many amazing guests and fascinating topics scheduled for the show in the upcoming months. I look forward to connecting with you soon.
Imagine a world where bullying isn't considered a normal part of childhood.
A world where I'm not afraid to go to school.
To speak out.
To be myself.
A world where I'm not afraid to be caught alone.
Come on, punk. We have the power to stop the bullying.
Speak out.
Speak up.
Educate.
Find out what to look for and how you can make a difference at bullying.org.
Bullying is not kids being kids.
It's not about good homes or bad homes.
It's not a normal part of growing up.
I shouldn't be afraid to get on the school bus.
To turn on my computer.
Message. Or walk to my locker.
Did you know that a bully will stop his or her behavior in 10 seconds when their peers speak up?
Use your voice.
Hey, leave him alone.
We have the power to stop bullying.
Find out more at bullying.org.
Bullying.org.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA, America's Wireless Companies, and the National Safety Council.
Okay, everybody, we're back. You're listening to Just Believe Radio. And our guest today is our dream coach. She is a actual dream coach, and her name is Amy Coelho, and she is really, 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 really fascinating. And if you're into dreams, and everybody's into dreams, I don't care who you are and what you say, you love them. She wrote you have two books, but the most recent one is Dreams: A Window into Your Destiny.
Yes.
You did have one before that, right?
No, I've written, and we've got one coming out called Journey into Dreams, which is basically going through every single dream of the Bible and pulling out all the principles.
Okay. So this was your first, and you're working on the second. I had two books in my head. I didn't know which was which. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're interpreting every dream in the Bible. Explain that.
What we're doing is did you know that one-third of the Bible either references, reflects, or speaks about dreams? And you sleep for one-third of your life. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, God. I think I sleep half of mine, but that's just me. I like sleeping.
Well, and I sleep less than that, so I think I sleep more than
four. How many kids do you have?
I have nine, so you can imagine.
You're not getting a lot of sleep.
Yes, and so we've taken every dream of the Bible and we've sectioned it out and Excel sheeted it and got the different symbols and what it means. We've also got the parables, and we've kind of are pulling out all the different principles. An interesting principle in the Bible that talks about that if you have a dream twice, it's going to happen quickly. It'll come to pass quickly. And so that's an interesting principle. But it's got lots of neat principles in the Bible. And so it's really interesting to, you know, a tree speaks of, Nebuchadnezzar's dream about a tree speaks of a leader. Why a leader? Because a leader provides shade, nourishment, covering, protection. Many people come to eat out of it. So so it's just interesting to go through all the different symbols in the Bible. And so we wanted to pull it out. And the reason why is because most Christians do not believe dreams are from God. Or apparently they just tear that page out of the Bible and throw it away. So
yeah.
So it's interesting to put it all together for people and say, hey, look, you know, this really is not a New Age concept. It really is biblical. So
what's interesting is until you actually said that, and I mean, I'm not a big, but I don't quote, I can't quote the Bible. I've read the Bible, but I don't know it well enough to throw quotes out there, except for the obvious ones that everybody knows. But when I think about it, since you've said that, there are a lot of dreams in the Bible.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I never really thought about that before, but there are a lot of dreams in the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah. 221 specific scriptures that reference dreams.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's a lot. And then on top of that, you've got the whole birth of Jesus that is surrounded by a dream. You know, you know, it saved him from Herod was a dream. Angels came and told him which way to go. A dream came and said that he was going to be named.
It's fascinating. It really is. I'm fascinated by it. All right. So I think I just hit a button wrong. I've been hitting buttons wrong today. So everybody just bear with
me. I have that
world
effect on people.
you make people hit the wrong button.
That's right.
Yeah, I've done it a couple times already today. I'm like, yeah, this is really annoying. Why am I doing that?
Yeah,
anyway, I fixed myself here. So again, the number to call in, we're down to our last half hour or so. Anybody who has a dream that they'd like Amy to help them interpret, you can reach us at 347-945-7246. The chat room is also open, so feel free to check in that way, too. And anyway, so let's get back to what I was talking about before the break now my puppy's barking. Jeez.
That's okay. My phone was ringing a million times because earlier my husband went to the store and saw ambulance coming this direction, so he thought our house was on fire or something.
Oh,
so kept calling and calling.
Isn't that fun, all these distractions? You got to love internet radio. There's something about being in a studio that would just make things a little more simple.
That would mean I would have to get out of my pajamas, and
yeah,
well, that's right. Not happening.
I'm still in my pajamas, too. It's a pretty cool way to work on Sunday. If you've got to work on Sunday, in your pajamas is the way to go.
That's right. That's right. It's written in my contract.
Exactly. So, all right, we were talking about the chapter in your book, which I honestly did not read. I skimmed real quick that chapter because I just wrote down getting stuck. What does that mean? Getting unstuck, I mean. Getting unstuck. What does that mean?
Well, you know, getting unstuck, we wrote that because one of the things we found is that most people dream that they remember. Now, I'll tell you, I want to back up by saying there's a word for dream in the Hebrew, in the Bible, and its original root word is chalam, C-H-A-L-L-A-M, and it means to bind firmly to. And to bind firmly to are those dreams that just stick with you. They don't go away. You remember them. And we have these reoccurring dreams, and we can't figure out how to get rid of them. And oftentimes, children have reoccurring dreams more so than adults, and sometimes you'll have them at certain seasons of your life, these reoccurring dreams. But
when you're naked in school.
Wait, we're losing you a little bit, Amy. It's cutting out a bit.
Can you hear me, Amy?
Yeah, that's better. Okay.
Okay. So you've got teeth falling out, which you and I talked about earlier in the dream. You've got chasing dreams where you're being chased. You've got death dreams. You've got falling dreams that you're falling. You missed an exam. You're in water and you're swimming and can talk underwater. You know, you've got all these common reoccurring dreams. Maybe falling is a reoccurring dream. You feel like you're falling. And so getting unstuck is basically, how do we not have these reoccurring dreams? That's kind of what I wanted the ticket to be, is we've got these dreams and they're reoccurring and you make them stop. And how do we get reoccurring dreams are the things that you need to overcome in your life in order to move on to that next place and that promotional level in the spirit realm. We believe that there are different levels in the spiritual and that you are, once you have got a life lesson, you're promoted, once you are what we call a key, we pick up the key to our journey and you move on into that next place because you've passed that test and you can be trusted. And so one of the things, and let me tell you, take you back to my reoccurring dream as a child. My reoccurring dream was that I was being chased, and no one ever caught me, but I was running through molasses. Like I was just running, and I couldn't run fast enough, and I was running in slow motion. That was my reoccurring dream. And I had the dream over and over and over, and then I would have it during certain seasons of my life. It would kind of come back. And I haven't had it since for a while. But the core of the essence of that dream is that I strive in myself, right? I don't let God take control and take the reins. I strive to do things in my own strength. One, I'm gifted. I'm naturally talented. I'm smart. Got a lot going for me. So I'm dangerous to myself. I'll rely on my own natural talents instead of giving God that limitless opportunity, you know. So I strive to do things, and I recognize that when I'm letting God open the door or I'm striving and pushing, railroading the door open through my talents, right? But sometimes people have dreams, their reoccurring dream is falling, okay?
Okay.
And the constant is falling, and, you know, right before they hit the ground. So what I would say is, where in your life do you feel out of control? You know, where do you feel like you don't have a sure footing? Because until you get to that place where you're not feeling like you have to have absolute control on things, you can't move on into that next place, right? And so another common dream is being naked. Maybe you're naked at school or at work, and, you know, nakedness can be... Now, every symbol has a positive and a negative aspect to it, okay? And one of the most difficult things in a dream is to figure out, do you take a negative aspect with the symbol or a positive aspect? Let's take nudity, for instance. Nudity, my husband had a dream where he was flying naked, and he was this really bronze gold color, and he was flying. Well, nudity in that aspect can be being vulnerable, transparent even. But then you have the nudity where you're fearful and maybe you're at school, you're walking around naked. It could also mean being exposed, not being transparent, but just being exposed, right? And maybe vulnerable in a negative sense, or even maybe unprepared or not having a covering, not feeling covered. One time I was naked in a dream from my top up, and someone came and put a blue, you know, I wasn't uncomfortable in the dream. I was bare-breasted. I wasn't uncomfortable. I was in a big group of people, mainly my mentors, and someone came and put a blue blazer over me. Well, that blue blazer being put over me spoke of revelation, and a coat speaks of a mantle. So I was being given a new covering in the spirit realm, and maybe, you know, basically was speaking about a promotion God wanted me to walk in. But when you have those dreams, just know you're going to be tested right after it. So he gives you the dream for hope and courage, and then you'll go into a season of testing where that dream doesn't look like it'll ever exist, right? Take Joseph, the coat of many colors in the dream. He has the dream. He tells his brother, hey, I'm going to rule over you and you and my mom and dad. And then what happened next? He was thrown into a pit and served years in prison.
Right.
So that dream looked like it was never going to come to pass. But he had a dream that he was going to rule over his brothers and sisters. But what God really had for him, that he was going to rule over a nation. So we don't even understand the types of dreams and what we call calling dreams. That was a calling dream for him. And so when we have these calling dreams, just know you will be tested at it to see if you can stand up to the test of that calling that God has for you. And so we have these naked dreams. And in order to get past it, we've got to figure out what it is, you know, if you're naked, what is it that you feel like you're having to hide? What is it about your identity that you feel exposed or ridiculed or embarrassed or shameful, right? And then you have, again, like you and I talked about, your teeth falling out maybe, teeth crumbling. It can be, if it speak of a lack of wisdom, maybe in relationships or in your thought life, what are you thinking on? Maybe that's what's holding you up, is that, you know, you're not thinking on the proper things, right? What you think on make work. What you focus on make work. And so what is it? Maybe you're not being promoted in your life because your thoughts are negative. So your vibrations are what? Going to be negative. What are you going to attract? Negativity. Maybe that's what God's after. Or, again, the chasing dreams. You feel like you can never get away. Is it that you're striving in your own strength? Or you feel like there's always conspiracy against you. Have you ever met those people that is always a conspiracy? You know, it's never their fault. It's always someone else's.
Maybe those people haunt us, I think.
And maybe that's what God is after. You know, you can't get to this next place in your destiny if you're always thinking that people are after you. And it's always someone else's fault, never your own, you know. Or, again, the falling dreams, or even late for an exam, or you're trying to take a test but you can't remember it, or you didn't bring a pencil, or is that a place where you feel like you don't have the confidence to advance into your next stage of life? Maybe the journey's filled with tests and trials. You feel like you're going to pass or fail. You can't get there. You're unprepared. Will I make it? Is that the issue that you have, that you can't make it to that next place in your life? So I always say, pay attention to your reoccurring dreams. I pay attention to my children's reoccurring dreams because that's the core essence of their being that they're going to have to overcome to make it in life. Mine is thriving in my own strength. Yours may be falling and just lack of control. So control is not my issue. Control may be my husband's issue or someone else's issue that, you know, they have to have the absolute control in their life. So, and their dreams are always falling. Does that make sense?
Yeah, actually, I it does, because you know you when you're saying all these things, it's like, but you know, I can see myself, and I'm assuming the listeners are probably in the same boat in some situations. What about when you fall into several of those categories?
Say it again.
If you fall into several of those categories, like, you know, like, okay, so I love having control, but I certainly don't have control. Like, I have three teenagers and a husband that's an airline pilot, and you know, so even though I like to control my environment and my situation, I have very little control. So I could see myself having that sort of dream. And the same respect, I'm always, you know, I'm always worried. I see clients every day. I'm trying to help people every day. And then, you know, and I'm so confident in what I did. And then, you know, when you go to bed, it's almost like you're at your weakest.
Yes.
What I mean? And all the self-doubt and all the doubt. Am I really helping and all that stuff? So you can fall into, I feel like you can fall into so many different categories. And maybe that's why our dreams are always so bizarre.
Yes. And I think that one of the greatest things about God is that we work on an issue at a time. If we were to work on all of my issues, be in a closet looking up at clothes in a fetal position somewhere,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. So, that's what I always say. I'd be hiding in your bed.
Yeah, and you know, I trust in the journey. And I trust that when something comes up, say teeth in a dream or falling out, then that's the next thing that we want to work on. And again, it's all about self-realization. What in my character needs to change for me to be a better person and for me to be to walk into my destiny?
An important thing to add to that, I think, is so much of the time, especially when you're doing work helping others, okay, when we're somebody who helps others, that's our thing. We're good at helping other people. We're nurturers. I mean, you're the mother of nine. Your life has to be all about nurturing, you know? And so when you get to that place, a lot of times I think for me, I notice that my dreams are trying to tell me, hey, pay attention to you, work on you, and don't so much worry about all the other aspects of. All the things you're doing for everybody else. I'm doing everything fine for my clients. I'm doing everything fine for my family. I'm doing the best I can, at least, but I'm neglecting myself. I'm neglecting my inner child. I mean, just let go, have fun, just enjoy myself, just enjoy life. We spend so much time living in the past or worrying about the future that we don't really have the opportunity to enjoy our current situation. So I know I lost you there for a minute, but I just talked right through it, so I'm glad you're back.
Good.
Nobody even knows, except that I just told everybody.
Yeah.
But the storm is getting worse, I take it.
No, it's actually so clear and beautiful, but it's just that when the storm came through, it just knocked out our little lines, and I moved out into the middle of nowhere to find peace and quiet and restringing internet lines. So.
Oh, geez. Yeah, well, I don't know how you get peace and quiet if you have nine kids, but
yeah,
God bless you. God bless you.
I just imagine it.
Yeah, you just pretend. You look around and you see, oh, look, no neighbors. Yay, my life's peaceful. And then you go back to your family room and you cry.
Yes, right.
And no, kids are great. I love them. How old's your oldest?
My oldest is 19 and my youngest is 1, so it's fun.
Wow.
Yeah.
Say as well, and better you than me.
Yeah, right. I love it. They're fun,
oldest is 19. My youngest is 14, and I think that's hard. So.
Yeah. Oh, I told my husband. My mom says, "Don't blink. They'll be gone if you blink." And I told her I kept blinking, and I'm like, "Mom, they're still here. I'm blinking,
they won't
here."
That's because you keep having more.
Yeah, I know, right? Oh, that's how that works. Okay. I know somebody. My dad came in one time and said, "You know what causes this?" And I finally looked at him. I said, "Yes, I do, and we like it."
So he never said
that again.
It's like he's like, did I skip that? Did I forget to talk to her about that when she?
Yeah, right. they're my inheritance and my blessing.
Oh my gosh, kids are awesome, and they drive you crazy and they make you question everything. But there's nothing more fulfilling on the planet than being a parent.
Yeah.
I believe that is absolutely true. You have my total respect, because I barely can handle 3, and I don't know that I could do another 6. So, anyway, I really appreciate your being on today. I would love to close things out with, maybe could you give some information? Well, a couple things. First, I want to ask you one more question, and that would be to give advice to people on how they can remember their dreams. How can they better remember their dreams? And is there a way to make yourself, because sometimes you remember them and you remember them for a few minutes or an hour, and then it's slowly the next time you think about it, you can't remember anything. Is there a way to help that?
Yep. And I call that chasing smoke. Trying to remember a dream is like chasing smoke. And Yes, there is a way to become better at your dreams. And what we want to do is, there's a biblical principle in where Jacob's ladder, it's called Jacob's ladder. And it's a very famous story in the Bible. And right before the dream, he has an angelic dream and a dream of revelation. What does he do? He pulls up the rock and he lays his head on the rock. And the rock, we believe, is a symbolism of Jesus. And as he lays his head on the rock, he's preparing a place for revelation. You want to prepare a place for revelation. You want to tell God that this is of utmost importance to you. First, you want to ask for forgiveness for not believing in dreams, for your core essence of maybe a core statement, a subconscious statement, is they're meaningless. So your actions are, you don't pine after them, you don't try to figure them out or interpret them. Remember, dreams are like the Song of Solomon dance. It is the, I'm going to hide, you chase me, facet of God. It's the fun side of God. It's a treasure chest full of funny, musing, scary, wonderful things. And so you want to prepare a place. You want to, I tell people, get a notebook, write down a question, incubate a dream. I have a question. Do I take this job or do I not take this job? And you write it down. My question is, should I take the job or should I not? Write it down in a notebook. Keep it open beside your bed. When you begin to dream, and it won't happen right off the bat. It may take a week. It may take a month, you know, but how long will you wait on him? And you begin to get the dream. You write the dream down, and you incubate that dream. Lord, how is this dream answering this question that I have? And it may not be immediate. It takes time. It takes practice to remember your dreams. But you got to be faithful. When you show God you're faithful, what you focus on, you make room for, you will begin to remember your dreams, and they will become longer and longer. I tell people all the time, don't stress. Don't chase after a dream like in your head and, oh, my God, I got to get. But upon waking up, you must write that dream down. Why? Because dreams have patterns. You have a biorhythm just like you have a spiritual rhythm. And so your spiritual rhythm, you will begin to see, you date your dreams. It's important to give them dates because you'll begin to see patterns in your life of when you have certain dreams. You'll see patterns in your life at a yearly glance of how different things have come. When you go back to read that dream 6 months later, it means something completely different. Remember, dreams are spirit-to-spirit communication, and it means something completely different when you go back and you look at it 6 months later. Right? Because it's spirit to spirit. It's not just the written word. It's the revelation behind it. And it may mean something. It may give you even a deeper level of understanding because you've come through it now.
Right.
And so writing down your dreams tells the Spirit of God, I find you important and I need you. And that is when you begin to have more and more dreams.
So
asking
do you
for forgiveness also.
So do you think that you can actually plan to, by asking a question, that you can actually maybe ask God to reveal the answer to your question in your dream?
There is a biblical principle. There's a scripture in the dream that talks about asking God which way to go. And he, Paul said, which way, what do I do from here? And he had a dream about a Macedonian man, and the Macedonian man was waving to him to come. So he woke up from that dream, and he knew he needed to go to Macedonia as a missionary. And so by that principle, we believe that we are in relationship with this God on a personal level. Therefore, I can ask questions and they will be answered. But dreams are only one way he answers. On the revelatory continuum, I teach a revelatory continuum that speaks of dreams, trances, translation, transference, trances. We have wise counsel, prophetic word, words of knowledge, scripture, and dreams. Dreams are only one way of confirmation that God confirms to us answers that we're seeking out. And so I also teach on visions and dreams and also understanding what trances do, translations, transference, transportation in the spirit realm, all of that. And so I tell people, don't make a decision on your life. Don't let dreams steer your ship. Always have three different forms of revelatory confirmation before you make big decisions in your life. And yes, I do believe that you can write down a dream, write down a question, and allow God to, and you begin to incubate that dream.
Right, All right. That makes sense. Well, tell everybody, because we're coming to the end of the show, how can people get a hold of you, get in touch with you, and what can you do to help them?
Great. You can go to my website. It's amycoello.com. You can also get my electronic press kit, which is amycoello.com/EPK for electronic press kit. You can hear some videos, audios of teaching. You can also reach me there. We have webinars that you can sign up for where you go into an Adobe Connect and we go through different dreams and teach you how to dream, and then we walk through other people's dreams. There's nothing like, I can teach theory all day long, but you won't learn until I put you in the fire and we start interpreting dreams. And so you can reach me at amycoello.com. And you can buy my book there. Also, I have dream symbols, and I have a free journal page that you can download 30 pages and put them in a book next to your bed and start incubating dreams.
Oh, that's very cool. That's a great thing to have. And I've been on your website, and it's really simple to use and really informative. And I am sure everybody else will feel the same way. And your book, you even have that little scan thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the book. Well, I don't know what that thing is called, but I am loving it all over the world. Yeah. Where you just like put your phone up, you take the picture, and boom, you're on the website you need to be on. No typing, just take a picture. It's very cool.
Yeah.
So anyway, I really appreciate you being on the show. It was really, really informative, and I'm sure we're going to get a lot of emails and things with questions. And if I afterwards, because a lot of our listeners are archive listeners. Because of the fact that the show does air on Sunday, and you know, some people have other things to do on Sunday.
Yeah.
I think that's
Lisa,
horrible.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You're very, very welcome. I really appreciate it, and I hope we'll have you back again sometime soon.
Excellent. Excellent.
All right, Amy.
Bye.
Bye. All right, everyone, that was Amy Coello, and it was our dream coach, and I thought that she did a great job. She's a very interesting lady with a lot of great ideas, and her book, again, is Dreams, A Window into Your Destiny, and be on the lookout for her next dream. Be on the lookout for that, too, but be on the lookout for her next book coming out, I believe, fairly soon. And visit our website. I think we all have a lot to learn about our dreams. So you've been listening to Just Believe Radio. I am Lisa Tarvis. I can be found on the internet at lisatarvis.com. That's LisaTarves.com. And the show airs every Sunday, 1 o'clock p.m. and on Eastern Time, that is. And we will be next week. Every week we have a fascinating guest. I pick them, so of course they're fascinating because, you know, I wouldn't pick bad guests. That would just be silly. So next week is Christia Cummings-Slack, who was born an artist, empath, clairvoyant, and a channel of spirit. And she is actually got a lot to teach us about communicating with the angels, which is, of course, based on my book, Just Believe, and my radio show, Just Believe, and everything else that I titled Just Believe. Just Believe is for me, related to the angel realm and our experiences with angels. So I think that she's going to be a fascinating guest for me to talk to, and I think for all of us to learn from. So please be sure to tune in next week at 1 o'clock Eastern Time for another episode of Just Believe. Until then, have a very safe week, and I hope everybody enjoys it, and I hope your weather is fantastic and that only good things happen all week long. Until next week, thanks for listening to Just Believe. Bye-bye.